So a couple of years ago, I had the real privilege to go on an amazing trip to California. It is the most fantastic state in America. It's got wonderful mountains, forests, desert, and coast. It's truly beautiful, a place where the wonder and abundance of God's creation is very apparent. The fertile and flourishing land producing a richness of vegetation and fruit. We just heard in our reading from Genesis, read by Falarin, that God said, "Let the earth put forth vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruit trees of every kind on earth that bear fruit with the seed in it." And at the end of each day of creation, the Genesis account says, "And God saw that it was good." Each part of creation is good in its own right, not necessarily dependent on the rest of creation. God loves his creation, all of it, not just us. And it's important for us to hold on to God's love for his whole creation. It tells us that the land and the vegetation and the trees are precious to God for themselves. They're, if you like, sacred. The land, vegetation, and trees are not just important because we need them for life. They're important because God says that they're good. God's amazing creation isn't just a backdrop or something for us to use. The land and vegetation and trees are the context for our very being. Because we're all rooted in the land in which we're born and the land in which we live. We join with creation in joyfully recognizing the one who created us and created the amazing world in which we've been placed. And Isaiah describes it just like this: "The mountains and the fields burst into song. The trees of the fields clapped their hands." I love those verses from the Bible because they tell us something really important about the world and all of us joining together in praising our Creator God. And even in our urban setting, we're inextricably linked with and dependent on the land and the seed-bearing vegetation and trees. Think of other countries where groups of people are called something like people of the hills or the river people. We're deeply connected to the land. When we were in California, we went to the Sequoia National Park, which is mountains and forests, where we saw some of the amazing giant redwood trees, including the biggest tree in the world, which is called General Sherman. It is so stupendously large, it's impossible to describe it in words, and it's actually impossible to take a photograph of. Even if you've got a person in it, you just cannot imagine it. It's bigger than Big Ben, it's bigger than the Statue of Liberty, and it's really, really old. It probably started growing about 2,000 years ago, about the time that Jesus lived his earthly life, an incredibly long time ago. And trees, however big or small, are a really important part of God's amazing creation. They're vital for every ecosystem, and they're important as well in the story of God that we read in the Bible. In the Bible, right at the beginning, there's a tree of life in the Garden of Eden. And then right at the end, there's a tree in Revelation, the tree of the healing of the nations. Other than God and people, the Bible mentions trees more than any other living thing. Just think of all the stories and pictures which involve trees. Adam and Eve in the garden, lots of trees there. Noah and the ark. Abraham under the oaks of Mamre. Moses and the burning bush, trees planted beside streams of water in Psalm 1, Zacchaeus climbing the sycamore tree, The disciples on the Mount of Olives, and we've been there, some of us, on our pilgrimage last year, to that see those amazing olive trees, which are, some of them, 3,000 years or older, and absolutely amazing. Many stories that Jesus told of trees, branches, fruit, and seed. And of course, Jesus himself was nailed to a tree and lifted high as he poured himself out for the love of the world to rescue us and draw us back into relationship with God. And in John's Gospel, we heard Bev read, Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. We too are invited to abide in the vine. We're invited to be like trees, strongly planted and rooted in Jesus, to remain closely entwined in Jesus's love, so that we might bear fruit from the soil of our lives. This is a picture of faith for us all to grasp onto, to be like trees. In Psalm 91, it says this, the righteous flourish like the palm tree and grow like a cedar in Lebanon. They're planted in the house of the Lord. They flourish in the courts of our God. The prophet Isaiah says, the people of God, those who join in the mission of Jesus to bring good news to the oppressed, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, to comfort all who mourn, they will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord to display his glory. How can all of us grow to be oaks of righteousness? A tree needs its green leaves for photosynthesis, to feed and nourish it. It needs to turn its face to the sun. And we need to turn our faces to the sun too, towards our Creator God, to bathe in his love, to discover his love for each one of us more and more deeply as we read the Bible, as we pray, as we worship, and as we spend time with our sisters and brothers in Christ. A tree needs its roots. The root network of the tree is even bigger than the part of the tree that we can see above ground. The roots need to go wide and deep for stability and for security. The roots need to spread and network for all the water and minerals that are needed. A tree needs its roots to be tended. And we need to make sure that our roots are deeply in God and deeply in one another, our church family. For alone, we're not fully and deeply rooted, and we're vulnerable to the winds of change. As our roots go deeper and wider, we grow and flourish. We grow in resilience, so we're not unprotected by the least puff of wind. And we're unable to stand firm in the face of rejection, opposition, or difficult times. And as our roots are tended and encouraged, we grow in our faithfulness and dependence on God. We become more able to flourish as part of creation's great forest of trees, more and more able to play our part in the mission and work of God in the world, building the kingdom of God through words and actions. Psalm 1 says this about those who follow God and keep his law. They are like trees planted by streams of water, which yield their fruit in its season, and their leaves do not wither. In all that they do, they prosper. And we've got a special relationship with trees. There's something powerful and symbiotic. That means that we're mutually dependent. Trees take in carbon dioxide and breathe out oxygen. In contrast, we breathe in oxygen and breathe out carbon dioxide. Doesn't that make you stop and think about how important it is for us to look after the environment as well as ourselves? And although it's easy to be motivated by our own interests, because we do know that if we continue to destroy the rainforests, it contributes to global warming, and that impacts on all of us. But somehow I think it's much more deep and profound if the call to respond to the care of creation is just because God has lovingly made it and continues to love and create in it, continues to love this amazing world that has been made, the land and the vegetation. But it's easy for us to lose our connection with the land, especially easy when we live in a really urban setting. How many of us lose our connection with the land because we never touch the earth or the soil? Maybe that makes it even more important for us and our well-being to make sure that we do connect with the earth or with trees or plants in whatever way we can. Why not take a walk in one of our local parks? Just go and stand by a tree. Touch his bark. Look at the buds of the leaves at the moment. Feel its shelter. Know its rootedness. Now, the term tree hugger is usually, I think, used in a rather disparaging and rude way. But as Christians, we're drawn to love and respect God's creation because it's good. It's not about worshipping trees, lands, or plants, but about honouring and respecting them, knowing our symbiotic relationship with them. Don't know if anyone saw me, but when I walked out to come to church this morning, I did go, given that I'd thought I knew what I was going to say, and touch one of the trees in our drive. I don't think that's a good thing to do, to acknowledge and love and respect the world around us, the created order. We need to guard and protect trees and vegetation. We need to look after the land. We can choose to plant more trees, can't we? We can choose to prevent trees being cut down when they can be preserved. We can think about using products that are made from trees, thinking about our paper use, about recycling paper and cardboard, using less. We can enjoy and take care of the garden that we do have. We have a beautiful church peace garden through those doors. Kate, where is she? She's somewhere. Oh, there she is, sorry, Kate. Kate and the team would love to welcome you to go and be in the garden at any time. But come and work with them on Monday morning. If you're around in the mornings, you're not at work or somewhere else, come and touch the earth. Tend the plants and trees that we have in our own church garden. We can all plant bulbs or seeds wherever we are, even in just a small pot or tray, if you don't have an outdoor area. As we tend and watch things grow, we join with God's creative and nurturing process. And it reminds us of our incredible link and symbiotic relationship with trees, plants, and the land placed by God in his amazing creation. Amen.